For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. This is the Cash Considerations Podcast. Yes, the Denver Nuggets traded Ismail Kamikadze, a second-round pick, I believe, in 2022, and traded him to the Los Angeles Clippers for cash considerations. Anyone who read Denver Stiffs, circa 2009 to 2014, around there, we'll remember that cash considerations was a character in itself. Cash considerations became a human being, so to speak. If you read the comments section around then, it was an inside joke that I appreciated. But yes, and mocking aside, this is the Denver Nuggets. As I said yesterday, as of this recording, and this will go up in the morning on Friday, the Nuggets projected that they were going to not do anything. Forget Michael Malone. As I said before, he doesn't know anything. This is all about the Nuggets saying exactly what they meant in the offseason this year. And this is going to be interesting within the context of what happened at the trade deadline, because there wasn't any blockbuster moves, but there was a lot of, I described it on Twitter as rearranging deck chairs on a sinking ship. There was a lot of that going on. It was very bizarre. I don't know if I've ever seen a trade deadline this unusual. And I don't know if that was necessarily because of the circumstances with the first and second apron, the changes to the CBA, or if it was because the luxury tax threshold only went up, it's only supposed to go up $1 million. No, it's not supposed to. Just $1 million less than what they thought it was going to be. I don't know. I honestly don't know why things are weird right now. A lot of teams have their team set in stone, and this may signal something that I want to talk about in the second half, that this is probably going to lead the NBA into becoming more of an off-season transactional league rather than an in-season transactional league. But let's address the Denver Nuggets for a second, because obviously, the Nuggets not doing anything should not be a surprise to anyone who has watched the Denver Nuggets. The Nuggets were hampered by a lot of different things, and the biggest thing that hampered them was giving the taxpayer mid-level exception to Reggie Jackson. So whatever you think about the Nuggets' actions this offseason is probably going to center around them giving the taxpayer mid-level to Reggie Jackson. I wasn't a fan of it, personally. As good as Reggie Jackson has been in spurts, I don't know necessarily that was a good use of the taxpayer mid-level, and it really set in motion a cascading series of events that kind of locked the Nuggets into where they're at. They don't really have any wiggle room. Another thing that locked the Nuggets into where they're at is signing all three of the rookies that they drafted to guarantee contracts. Jalen Pickett, Hunter Tyson, and Julian Strother, all of which got a deal. Now, this is important to take into consideration. The action of signing these three rookies, two of which have barely seen the floor, has limited roster spaces. So, like, say for instance, tonight we learned that Danilo Gallinari is being waived by the Detroit Pistons. If the Nuggets, and I'm just using him as an example, if the Nuggets wanted to re-sign him, bring him back to Denver as an end-of-year kind of player on the roster, they can't do that because they would either have to waive someone that they just signed, or they would have to do on something else along those lines. They're not going to do that. As much as I think that Gallo and what he gave to Denver during an extremely rough period of time in Nuggets history, what he gave them, and I think is worth kind of a token, bring him back for 20 games kind of thing. The Nuggets are stuck. They don't have any moves they can make. They are stuck where they're at. So, essentially, because they have three rookies and Reggie Jackson that they signed, there's nothing that they can do to get themselves out of that without doing something today, like trading one of them, which is what they're going to do. The Nuggets are maxed out. So the Nuggets in this position right now have stated since the offseason exactly what they were going to do. They were going to ride with these rookies, and they were going to go into the season with the roster they had, with the starting lineup, which is great, already intact, and hoping that Reggie Jackson would be able to stabilize a bench that featured a lot of youth. But what we've seen this year is something that it's actually amounted to a worst case scenario for the Nuggets, even though they are 35 and 16, okay, as of this recording. And what that means is the Nuggets kind of put themselves deliberately into no man's land. So they couldn't, even if they wanted to, they couldn't do anything because they committed themselves very loudly in multiple interviews to this process. And this process is old rookies and signing Reggie Jackson. I mean, really, that's really truly what it was. And they retained DeAndre Jordan and stuff like that. The DeAndre Jordan stuff, he's great for the locker room. Everyone can see his value. And in fact, it's thank God they've had DeAndre Jordan this year because Zeke Nnaji has been terrible. And I discussed that in the last podcast. Zeke has not been great. So the Nuggets getting cash considerations for a guy who is never going to see the court in Denver it's a shrug of the shoulders. It's not something that is ever going to affect anything that they do tangibly. Cash considerations aren't that sort of thing. So that's not a scenario that's going to play itself out. It was almost like an ancillary thing that didn't deserve being mentioned, because if that deal wasn't announced by Shams, I think. No, it wasn't Shams. It was someone else from The Athletic. I'm sorry if I'm misattributing this, but I don't believe it was Shams who reported this. Because of this, it was a non-factor thing. Cash considerations is undefeated. Cash considerations has never played a minute of basketball. Cash considerations can never let you down. Cash considerations is the best of what you can provide because there's no expectations. Cash considerations is cash. There's no risk there. So the Nuggets went from someone who they will never see the court in Denver, gave that away for money from the Clippers. Okay, It's good that the Nuggets were able to do that and get some badly needed money for the Cronkies, I guess. But joking aside, this is just a reflection of where the Nuggets are at with this roster. They're committed to Kelvin's draft picks. And that's really, if you really want to boil it down to it, that is where we're at. The Nuggets are committed to the direction that they set forth by their actions this offseason and the draft that they had prior to that in June. And all those steps that have been taken, I mean, and I'm going to include Christian Brown and Peyton Watson in this. Watson has showed some promise this year, and Christian Brown has had a better last couple games than he's had most of the year. I blame Kelvin for a lot of Christian Brown's struggles because he put in his head that he needed to be a playmaker. That was on the Nuggets front office. If Christian Brown did what he always did, which was what he was doing last year, which is just being a dirty work hustle guy who would get the occasional point, surprising point, but really was there for hustle and defense and to create chaos. If he was just doing that, it's what he was made for, right? Then you had Reggie Jackson. The Reggie Jackson deal is significant insofar as it locked the Nuggets in from being able to do anything. The use of the taxpayer mid-level basically set the Nuggets in stone. And what the Nuggets were telling us in multiple press conferences was this is the way they were going to go. So this is it. So it really depends on how you view their roster, how you view the Denver Nuggets right now is the way they are going to be to the end of the season. Great starting lineup, very questionable bench. People have said that last year it was a terrible bench, and you know, it was you could make some valid points on that. It wasn't a great bench, but it was a veteran bench, other than Christian Brown. And that is because Bruce Brown and Jeff Green were there. And what you've seen the Nuggets do the last, I don't know, 15 games or so, is they've really staggered Jamal. Jamal has been what you would call the bench stabilizer. The problem is the bench still sucks. You can only improve what surrounds Jamal so much. They will always lose leads when Jokic goes out. It'll be a thing that probably surrounds Nikola Jokic until he retires from the NBA. The closest they ever came to having a similar playstyle bench was when Mason Plumlee was here. And Plumlee wasn't exactly what you would call a carbon copy of Jokic, but he did replicate some playmaking. He could do the dribble handoffs, did enjoy passing. He initiated a lot of the offense at the top of the circle, but the Nuggets don't have that right now. So they are stuck in this whatever they're doing, right? And what we have to determine as Nuggets fans is this particular direction enough to get them to a title this year? My view, and I've said this since the offseason, my view is the Nuggets knew that this wasn't good enough, but they were okay with going into the season with it. And because they signed Reggie Jackson to the mid-level taxpayer mid-level, and because they had signed, well, three rookies to contracts. Strother was a first-round pick, so he was going to get a guaranteed deal. But Pickett and Tyson did not need to be given guaranteed contracts. And those decisions have consequences, and the consequences is what you saw at the deadline. The Nuggets couldn't really do anything unless they wanted to give up valued pick, which means giving up Reggie Jackson. You know, which means giving up Zeke Nnaji, a guy that you whose value has plummeted to the point where he can't even get minutes in front of DeAndre Jordan, right? These decisions have consequences, and you saw that play out in front of the Denver Nuggets in the trade deadline. But the Nuggets were not alone there. A lot of the changes made to the CBA affected everyone out there. The Clippers really didn't do anything. The Timberwolves got Monte Morris. The Thunder got Gordon Hayward. The Thunder are the most easily positioned to do whatever they need to do. Okay, Gordon Hayward is injured right now, but they were able to trade some ancillary pieces for Gordon Hayward, basically buying low on Gordon Hayward. But they were able to do that. Outside of that, the Lakers didn't do anything. The Suns didn't do anything. This wasn't something that you saw a lot of movement. The Celtics ended up getting Xavier Tillman. The Milwaukee Bucks traded for Patrick Beverley for some reason. It's probably because Doc Rivers was there, and Doc Rivers had Patrick Beverley in with the Clippers. So you never know. So anyway, in the second half of the podcast, I'm going to talk about these deals, the way they shaped up, and how the NBA might be moving into more of an off-season league rather than a regular season league. But first, I'd like to talk to you about Blanchard Family Wines, located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee. It'd be for lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block there. Always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. Great vibes, great place. I've taken many people there. They've all loved it. One of the best things about going to the dairy block location is just the general vibe of the place. It's really cool. It's a really cool location to just kind of hang out. So if you're going to a Rockies game, you know, summertime, great place to stop for beforehand and go on to see the Rockies, or stop on the way after the Rockies game. But they have a location in Fort Collins, they got a location at Golden, and they got the original location in Sonoma County, California. They've got reds, they got whites, they got Rieslings, they've got rosés, they've got blends, they've got the Pinot is really good. I highly suggest trying that. They got that available right now. As always, the Cabernet is really good, but if you like whites, they got their Riesling is in partnership with the Western Slope Wineries. It's very good in itself. I really do enjoy that one. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th and Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado, just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block there. Always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSQ Podcast sent you.
Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a Swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The NBA has always struggled with the balance between off-season and during the season. And during this Adam Silver era, NBA has become more about drama. It's become the ancillary stuff. And there hasn't been a lot of that this year. And due to actions signed with the CBA, it seems like the league is shifting more towards substantive deals being done in the offseason. Things that need to be done are kind of circled in on that area. I mean, unless a superstar is trying to force his way out, like Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving did last offseason. That sort of thing doesn't happen that often. People think it happens more often than it does. But today was unusual. Today was a bunch of across-the-board trades, Indiana trading Buddy Hield to the Philadelphia 76ers in a move that really didn't benefit the Pacers. Then they got Doug McDermott from the San Antonio Spurs. Doug McDermott was on the Pacers before. And moves that just are kind of like, okay, is your team any better than the way they were before? I don't necessarily think that Buddy Hield is going to make the Philadelphia 76ers that much better, you know? But this is the way the league is. And this was a really unusual day. And I listened to Bill Simmons talk about this. Now, I think the one team that actually did pretty well was the Charlotte Hornets. I think the Charlotte Hornets really kind of set themselves on a direction at this deadline. And after years and years and years of trying to figure out what the hell they're doing, this was a direction. Getting off of Gordon Hayward, acquiring players that have some upside, but they're on manageable contracts, and trying to build around LaMelo Ball. I can't figure out what the Toronto Raptors are doing. I love you, Masai, but I cannot figure out what the Raptors are doing. They've got off a bunch of contracts, but Toronto's not exactly a free agent destination, so I don't no idea what they are doing. No offense to the Raptors fans who may listen to this. I just don't know. All that aside, it does seem clear to me that the majority of the deals here were just kind of moving one player from one location to another. You know, it sounds weird to say that sort of thing. It sounds weird to say a trade is intrinsically a relocation, right? But there doesn't seem to any value exchange in a lot of these deals. I mean, the New York Knicks got with the Pistons, I do believe that, you know, they cut Killian Hayes today. They traded Alec Bogdanović to the Knicks. And that is going to benefit the Knicks, and in the future it'll benefit the Pistons. That deal in itself was the Knicks needed to use some picks kind of deal, and they found the perfect foil in the Detroit Pistons. But most of the deals, as I said before, were kind of just straight across. It was really weird. It was a really weird deadline. Bill Simmons called it a dud. I wouldn't go that far. There was a lot of activity, but it was kind of it didn't really attract anything. This is my theory, though. I think the league is moving into an era where that once they know the parameters with which they have to operate, they are much easier in the off-season moving than they are in the regular season now. Because until the league expands, which they has desperately needed to expand for 5 years now, maybe even longer, and it's largely due to league-wide greed why they have not done that yet, particularly since, 2014 was probably the optimal time for them to expand. And it was the owner saying, we don't want to split the pie. That basically was the only reason that hasn't occurred earlier. Seattle needs a team back. And obviously it's inevitable that Vegas is going to get a team. But until we get this expansion, you're going to see this. Once the league expands, things will open up tremendously. But until that happens, we have moved into a big moves made at the time of free agency league. And those things are all well and good. I don't mind that at all. Rarely have the Nuggets made a huge deal. I said this in the last podcast. Aaron Gordon is by far the best move Tim Connelly made in terms of a trade, I think. And it's the move that really kind of made the Nuggets. But the Jokic era Nuggets, other than other than Nikola Jokic, don't come at me, folks. I'm not implying that, but I'm saying it's the thing that completed the Nuggets, I should say. The trade that completed them. But the Nuggets really never made any huge deals other than that Gordon deal. So it's kind of like it feels like the league has come to the Nuggets. The league is kind of like, we're the Nuggets, right? If we don't have to do it, we're not going to. And if we do, it's just going to be I like this player over here. Maybe not a needle mover, but we'll take a flyer. That sort of thing. And rarely do, as I pointed this out in the last podcast, rarely do deadline deals make a huge impact. It's very, actually very rare that happens. As I pointed out, Kevin Durant is made an impact on the Suns, but he's making a better impact this year because he's got a full training camp in year, which probably will play into thinking, right? And the interesting thing to me is that the Lakers didn't make more of an aggressive move for DeJounte Murray. I don't understand why they didn't go there. Maybe they couldn't get the terms they wanted. Who knows? But that aside, it just didn't, and there wasn't anything really available that was going to be wow, you know. I think at this point in time, the league is going to be more suited, even after expansion, but they may open up a lot after expansion, but the league is going to be more suited to off-season moves and draft day trades. And free agency trades and whatever happens in free agency. Free agency is not going to be great this next offseason, and the draft is not going to be that great. Everyone's waiting for everyone's waiting for the Cooper Flagg draft, and I have no idea who that is, but the name keeps coming up to me. So there are players to look out for in terms of the future. Clearly not necessarily this offseason and not in this season. And this there was nothing really needle moving going on. You could argue that the Knicks moved the needle. You could argue the Thunder sort of did, but Hayward is a walking injury. I don't know if that's going to help them. And also the Timberwolves acquired Monte Morris, which is a minor move. We know Monte here. They needed another adult and another point guard on that team. So that may pay dividends for them, but it's not a major move. It's not a big-time move. And Tim Connolly is loathe to do big moves just to do big moves. So this is where this is the current league. The league as we know it right now is a league that is maybe going to be moving into more like the NFL, where the off season is where the big things happen. And it's kind of always been that way, considering free agency is a big part of the NBA. But you may see bigger deals happening now. Teams wanting to get set in the off season before they reach the trade deadline. Things like that happening and really setting that into motion rather than waiting for the trade deadline or disgruntled player, which will always be there. That option will always be there. But I think this is where teams are at because of the apron, the tax apron. And you saw what the Nuggets did this year. They set themselves in the offseason. The Denver Nuggets knew exactly what they were going to be all year this offseason. And they told us exactly the way they were going to look. You're going to see more and more and more teams take that approach. All right, though, folks, thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast. This was a rare 3-episode week. I may continue to do that this month. Who knows? I think the Nuggets are playing the Lakers. So we'll see how that goes. They're taking a California trip, so they're playing the Kings after this, so who knows? All right, thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast. I'm going to be back soon with another episode. Goodbye.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.